This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TWE.
Ray Rowe.
That's right. Tonight, well, ENN, it's very special. Because it's brought to you by our friends at Sloman's and Casa Noble. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
And the Powerball jackpot is now $59.
That's
it's not even almost, not, it's not worth it. Now you should buy candy, too, just because then that's the reason you went into the store in the first place.
Good evening to Don.
What has happened to us as a society?
Yeah, we cover a lot on this show.
Oh, sure.
Good evening to Don again.
Meat that grows.
And good evening to myself.
Nassau Coliseum.
Well, guys, there's so much to talk about, right? Got to tell you. Michael, we'll start here. There was a lot of conversation. We've done a lot of Yankees already. We've done some Mets. I want to get to some other things that happened over the course of the last few days. And when we talked about this earlier, Don, there's actually quite a bit of conversation. And that's Nikola Jokic, your back-to-back NBA MVP.
It's not fair.
Yeah, no. It's been leaked, and of course the Nuggets were already eliminated from the playoffs. Meanwhile, maybe his top competition, well, certainly both of his top competitors in the category, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Joel Embiid, are both still competing. Embiid willing his team through injuries to a 2-2 tie with the Heat. Let's hear from Greeny, who says he regrets voting for Jokic.
I don't want to pass the buck, but I allowed myself to be talked into voting for Jokic, and I'm kind of mad at myself now. Because the numbers are the numbers, but I'm one who I don't want to be governed by all just by the advanced metrics. Like the numbers suggest that Jokic did things this season that had never been done before, and I allowed myself to get talked into voting for him for that reason. Look, he obviously won the award, so it's not a terrible vote on my part. But I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't vote for Embiid. Now,
here's Tim Legler with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning.
I always looked at it like this. If a guy surges to the lead of the award, unless he, one, gets hurt, two, has his production drop off precipitously, or they start losing games, I don't know how you lose it. Like, he got run down in the home stretch by Nikola Jokic. And I also thought the part of it should have been the weight of leadership and what he did this year with that distraction and that disastrous train wreck that the Ben Simmons situation created for that franchise. And Joel Embiid showed maturity, leadership, toughness. He put that team on his back. And for me, it was Embiid.
Now, what we debated, Michael, was because in the NBA, you have the play-in. So that means that there are only 10 teams that will only have a regular season to base their year on. And where it's virtually impossible for you to win the MVP as one of the 10 worst teams in the league, should it be an award that factors in postseason performance?
Well, all right.
Okay.
You know, I Don, I'm with you 100%. We talked about this earlier, but I think it's silly. I just think it's silly. And listen, I know he won't want to say much, but I just want to give Andrew the floor for 30 seconds on behalf of his beloved Joel Embiid.
Oh, I think you asked for me, Peter?
That's right.
Sure. I'm sorry. I'm trying to deal with why we didn't just hear
Michael. Yeah, that was a pretty bad job. When you really think and evaluate what just happened, awful job by Peter to go to Andrew.
That's a great point. That's a great point. You're trying to figure out why Michael has disappeared.
I think we need to move on.
I'm back.
All right.
I'm back.
So I'll repeat the question.
I heard it.
Okay,
just my mic went dead. I don't particularly like that because then the better team goes long. I mean, so the guy who's on the team that goes to the finals has more games to be evaluated, and I don't like that. And occasionally you'll have a great player. I mean, Cal Ripken Jr. and Andre Dawson won MVPs on last place teams.
But that's why I excluded baseball, hockey, and football. But because basketball literally has 20 teams that advance to the postseason, even though the play-in isn't technically the playoffs, but they go beyond the regular season. And you're going to see an Andre Dawson and a Cal Ripken, but you're never going to see an NBA MVP be on a team that wasn't good enough to be in the play-in.
Yeah, but I mean, then you would be penalizing Jokic for being on a team that had injured players. It wasn't because they were bad.
But so did Embiid. Embiid had the same thing.
Right. And look what he's battled through.
Right.
And his own injuries.
I'm just saying it's kind of ridiculous for me, Michael. I brought up with the hockey. There was the one year where Vasilevsky won the Vezina Trophy. Hedman won the Norris Trophy. They got swept by Columbus in the first round. So 2 months later in Vegas, they received an award. No one cared because the regular season was 2 months ago and everybody was thinking about how great the playoffs were. And it's the same thing in the NBA. Like, who cares about the regular season when all this great basketball is being played and storylines that really forward the season more than how good a player you were in November? I just think the NBA, because of the 20 teams going, I would think about it.
Now that Michael's been found, Andrew, 30 seconds on your thoughts on the Embiid snub.
Well, I think it's a shame because this argument gets kind of like twisted and turned into if you support one guy, you have to criticize the other. And I would say straight out, this might be the best MVP race that I have ever seen, at least going back, I don't know, 25 to 30 years or so. Like the top three were that good, where it's not crazy to me that Jokic would win. I would say Embiid. I'm not even going to hide it or be disingenuous. I'm as biased as you could possibly be on this. But I just think, like, he did things this – he has a game of 50 points in 27 minutes. You know, like, little things that you don't think of, leading the NBA in free throw attempts. People use that as a knock against him because it's kind of boring to watch. But he has the opposing center in foul trouble almost every night. He does all that on the offensive end. He did it without a true number two this year for a lot of the season because of the Simmons situation. And yet, defensively, he's still one of the most elite players in the league. And we've seen that perfectly in this series. The two games where he wasn't there, Sixers couldn't stop Miami at all. The last two games, I mean, what was it, game three? Miami scored 79 points. That's not a coincidence. Embiid does that. He was out on the wing shutting down Oladipo and Hero late in yesterday's game. That's a 7'2" guy covering two guards in a playoff series where he's got a torn thumb ligament, a concussion. He's a freak. He's ridiculous. Jokic and Giannis are great, too. I just thought it was Embiid's turn. I thought he deserved it.
Yeah, Michael, what do you think about that theory? I do sort of feel like there's an unwritten thing that, like, to get the back-to-back, I feel like Jokic really had to be head and shoulders above Embiid, and he wasn't.
I thought our buddy Frank Isola made a great point on one of the shows on ESPN. He said, you look at all of the past MVPs the last couple of years, they've all been from Europe. He said the one thing they don't have in Europe is AAU basketball, where everybody plays for individual honors, and they're trying to just score the most points. They're not complete players. He said these European players are complete players, and that's why they win the MVP. I think that's really interesting.
But not complete on both sides of the ball.
See, Michael brought up the whole, well, is it fair that you're on a team that gets bounced in the first round as opposed to what the Sixers may do? Listen, the Sixers could have very easily been bounced in the first round. And if you've got a tight race, what would be so wrong of just, all right, let's include the postseason. Let's break this tie in the playoffs. And if you were to do that, come on, you wouldn't even though it's not his fault that Denver lost in the first round, this wouldn't tilt the scales towards Embiid, what he's been able to accomplish here?
Probably, but then usually you're looking at the better team that advances, and that doesn't necessarily, connect to that one player.
Do we know that in the situation that Philadelphia is in that they're that much better than Denver? Consider he's playing with a broken orbital bone, that he's got torn ligaments in his thumb and missed two games in this series, and if they come back and win, it's going to be because of him.
And he's also, Andrew, always walking through those really tough neighborhoods for crypto.
I saw that. He's a crypto guy.
Yeah, big crypto guy.
I don't know how to feel about crypto.
Don't feel about it.
Well, Michael's not exactly the person to have the conversation with.
Yeah,
the
man, I'm not exactly the Warren Buffett.
He's scared to use a bank card. So let's one step
no,
at a
no,
time.
No, I use bank cards. I won't bank on computers.
Right, on computers. Because the whole thing's not on computers.
Right, but I'm a big bank card guy.
Okay, good. Well, that's true. Don can't even operate a bank card, so
right.
you are.
I don't like
him.
To talk to people, so bank cards really work for me.
Right. Sure.
We're getting quickly. Just I got word that Lindgren not in the lineup.
I'm out. Listen, you guys handle the rest of this.
Well, don't mock it. I mean,
I'm not mocking. Well, I'm trying to fun. Oh, you're so serious.
Well, now, you don't think I was having fun by saying don't mock it? I mean, there's got to be a little volley back and forth here to kind of counteract what's going on.
All right, let's try it again. Just tell me again so we can do this right.
Lindgren out for tonight's
game.
Oh,
no, I'm out. I'm out for the rest of the show.
Well, see,
he did the same thing again.
Right, so
no,
I'm not going to repeat.
I was going to yell at Don when he said don't mock it. I was going to let it go. This is not ready for drive time players.
I didn't realize that. You didn't announce that, but don't mock it. All right. Now we'll see because I still think there's going to be changes on the fourth line. I think Hunt's out, so does Brodzinski come in? So some subtle changes, which you tend to do after a loss.
The Gettleman gifts keep on giving.
I know.
The Giants today had to release James Bradberry after failing to find a partner for the cornerback. The Giants said this is a money move. They need to clear cap space. Bradberry is set to make $13.4 million this season. He would have cost $22 million against the cap.
I'm not getting fleeced.
The Giants get a cap saving of $10 million.
Tried in the past.
Bradberry, very good player. After 4 years with the Panthers, spent the last three here in New York.
See, this is why Gettleman's was just so awful, because you can't even have nice things.
No.
Like, because it turned out to be a great pickup because he's a really good player. Had an off year last year, but he ended up – so he saw the talent in Bradberry, and 2 years ago he was excellent. But because he was so bad at his job and they've got to save cap space, now they got to let a good player go. So even when he did well, it was awful.
I'd love to sign Bradberry in Washington. Love to grab him.
We're going to do
everything
with class.
It's amazing they couldn't swing a deal for him. But everybody knows that they had to
release
him at some point.
Yeah,
right.
No power.
So why not just wait? Why give something up?
But here's why. Because now every other team has a shot at him, right?
And so his price
if you really wanted Bradberry and you had the cap space, make a trade. Give him a fifth-round pick. Then not one team wanted him that badly?
But you'll get him for less than he was going to be made.
No. I know that, but now he could choose a team. But if a team traded for him, he has no choice. He'd have to go. That's my point.
Right. No, I understand that. But I guess they're going to take their chances on you getting him cheaper and not having to give anything up.
Right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, guys, I feel about horse racing the way Don LaGreca feels about golf.
Golf is garbage.
I will watch
like.
Every.
Buys golf.
That's
the only
me.
Sport he doesn't like.
And by the way, but Don, since I'm an event guy, I still threw on the Derby. Okay, just to see the moronic hats, the stupid celebration of wealth, the cruelty to animals, but. That being said, something amazing happened. Let's hear the final stretch of the 2022 Kentucky Derby.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Messier, Crown Pride, then Epicenter is coming up on the outside. Epicenter has taken the lead as they arrive into the final furlong. Sandon is coming after him. Epicenter and Sandon, these two strive for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. They're coming down to the wire. Epicenter's ended. Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh, my goodness. The longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike has done it in a stunning, unbelievable upset.
Now, I've got no use for horse racing. I think it's cruel to the animals. I will not consider it even an activity until I can do a one-on-one with the winning horse. But they do make for a good call down the stretch.
Oh, yeah. I can't fight that. They do a hell of a job.
Now, I don't think I've ever told this. So I used to be an intern at NBC Sports in their publicity department, and the head of the department was Mike Cohen, who told me that he thought that I would be a really good race caller. And so he had set me up to, like, do a race call at Yonkers Raceway. I simply could not remember the horses. Don, I mean, you remember the names for hockey and stuff like that, but imagine if you had to remember a whole set of names 10 minutes after you just called the race, and the whole set 10 times. I couldn't do it. I just have no memory like that.
It is funny how it works, right?
Like, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it.
And you like it, but it's not your thing necessarily.
Well, on my bucket list is to go to Kentucky Derby.
And you've said that, but you're not somebody that's like hanging in an OTB on a Thursday making bets, unshowered.
Well, I shower.
Losing tickets around your feet.
I love horse racing, though. And you're talking about the cruelty of the horses as you bite into a burger. Stop it. Don't be selectively outraged.
No.
You think those cows die in a nice way?
I think it's what, to me, and this is my rules, my life, my rules.
Yeah.
It's kind of what they're serving their purpose.
That's the
horses
thing.
Are gorgeous, beautiful animals, and I don't think they need to go through that and be treated like that.
Just
and
watching
having
it is,
like all kinds of, you know, illegal medicines shoved into them.
Well, those people should go to jail.
The whole thing is just weird to watch. Can we just
be
honest?
You were locked in, weren't you?
I ended up locked
in. I'm not going to protest it. You know, I'm not marching, but I don't watch. I'm not marching. I'm not watching.
I will not consider it even an activity until I can do a one-on-one with the winning horse.
I would have loved to interview Secretary.
Now, that wasn't the only crazy upset. By the way, Rich Strikes win 80-1 underdog.
Yeah.
I know. Pretty incredible. Let's hear the play-by-play. Todd Grissom on DAZN on Saturday night as Dimitri Bivol defeats Canelo Alvarez.
Did we underestimate Dimitri Bivol? Canelo Alvarez was a big favorite in the biggest fight of the year, but Bivol showed up and showed out and may have just beaten the pound for pound king.
Great call by Grissom.
Yeah,
very cool. I like that. Guys, I'm so annoyed I fell asleep. I've watched so many Canelo fights that I was like, why did I waste my time? This is Canelo losing for the exact same reason that Floyd never did. The willingness to go places to stretch himself and take risky fights. And the reward for him taking the risk was his first loss since he lost to Mayweather almost 10 years ago. Really, it was a beating from pillar to post. In fact, the cards were close, but most people who watched it say they should not have been nearly that close. And Canelo had already signed to have his third match with Triple G, but now, guys, obviously the match everyone want to see is a rematch between Canelo and Bivol. All three judges had it 115-113, but most people thought it was a much wider margin.
Now, which one? This was the one that now it's vacant, right?
No, that was the UFC.
That was the UFC. Okay,
there you go. But back to that. We did talk about Oliveira Gaethje on Friday, and the fact that Oliveira didn't make weight and as a result was stripped of the title. He did end up beating Gaethje, so now he will have to fight one more time to regain the now vacant title.
Ah, well, that sets up for nice drama, though.
Right, he's got to lose that half pound.
Yeah, he's got to lose. The half pound. Guys, Dick Vitale is going to be honored with the Jimmy V Award at the 2022 ESPYs. Well deserved. Of course, we know Dickie V had another bout with cancer, and this is going to be not a dry eye in the house kind of moment when they honor Dickie V ESPYs.
I'm looking forward to that speech. That's going to be a really good speech that he's going to have.
That will do it for ENN, brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. And Casa Noble. When life moves fast, take a moment to hit pause and experience the smooth, elegant taste of Casa Noble tequila, the perfect tequila for all of life's meaningful moments.
All right, Don LeGrec is coming up. First, the pregame show, and then Rangers-Penguins game 4. That's coming up on 98.7. See everybody. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.